minutes.
Good morning, North State. How are you doing this morning? Currently 62 degrees, 7:05 here this morning. It's going to be hot today. Not so bad in the triple digits. It's going to be a high of 95 degrees. Well, you know, it may sound like I'm flying solo, but I'm not, because where the other half is, Mr. Colonel, Lieutenant Colonel Carl Bott, is down at the convention center. So you're going to hear him via through the phone contraption that we have.
I'm here.
Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning.
Okay, tell our listeners what's going on.
Okay, well, I'm down at the convention center because we're raising money for the Warriors Memorial Chapel out at Igo Cemetery. And people are going to come through here at the Civic Center. They're going to drive through, and they're going to drop off donations. And we're looking to make, just as much money as we possibly can off this. But this is a chance for Reading to support the new chapel out there at Igo. What a great effort this is, started by Senator Maurice Johannesson.
Well, you're coming through loud and clear, Carl, and I didn't mean to interrupt, but I know that we're going to have this, well, maybe just a little delay. But from the pictures that we saw and when we had Senator Johannesson on, it looks as if the chapel, all the walls are up, and this is not just for Reading. This is for everybody in the North State to
That's
to
right.
consider.
That's for everybody in the North State.
Go ahead.
And in fact, Senator Johannesson just come in here today. Good morning, Senator.
Good morning, Carl. What's happening here?
Well, you should know you've got a bunch of people out here, and people are starting to drive by and drop off donations for that great chapel you started.
Well, I really appreciate anyone coming by here, but I also notice as I'm walking up here, there's a nice table here with coffee and everything else. You know something? I think I'm going to partake in that. I think it's going to be a great day, Colonel. I think it's going to be a great day down at the Civic Auditorium. I see cars starting to pool in already, so we are in good shape. So come on down and visit us and leave whatever you can to help us. Thank you for all efforts.
Well, you know, what you've done here with the chapel, with the Warriors Memorial Building, whatever you want to call it, as everybody knows when you go out to Igo, that when you held the services, there was really no place for people to get out of the weather. And with this effort made, started by the senator and underwritten by the senator here, it gives people a place to have their final memories, to have their final ceremonies with their loved ones, with their fallen warriors, with those heroes, in a place out of the weather, out of the sun, out of the rain. And we can't say enough. Linda, it's just a great day out here, and I hope that we can just keep people coming down.
Okay, I want to find out, and our listeners also, how long will you be there?
Okay, we're going to be here from 7 o'clock. We're starting right now, and we're going to be here till 7 p.m. tonight.
Oh, boy, so good. There's lots of time. And we do encourage that if you're on your way to work and you have a $20 bill or something stuck in your wallet, or let's just say you've been waiting to maybe tithe this month for something special.
The first car is coming through.
Oh,
right now.
Are you going to say hi?
We are. We're going to say hi to them.
Okay, good.
But the first car has just come by, and
did you hear me squeal?
They're filling out checks and doing everything here. So this is great. Hooray!
We're listening.
The lady just came by and dropped it off and thanked the senator here.
Oh, wonderful. Okay, well, listen, we'll be checking back in with Carl down at the convention center. If you're in your car or you're thinking about leaving a little bit early this morning, do go down to the convention center. They're taking donations this morning, and this is for the new chapel. You may have heard about it. You are going to probably be seeing pictures down there. It's quickly going to be completed, but they are looking for the donations to just finish it off, and they're hoping to have this happen before the rainy season. So we're going to take a break here. Thanks for joining us this morning. You're listening to Carl and Linda Bott here on KCNR 1460.
Name and Appliances.
Welcome back. This is KCNR 1460. Good morning. It's a fabulous morning. Great day. 62 degrees. Going to be high today of 95. And we've got all kinds of good things coming on. We've got the expert compost worm guy. I mean, you may think like, let me tell you something. This guy is going to light your socks off. This guy is going to tell you stuff. He's going to inform you with things that you just cannot believe. We're going to talk about the city council, who are the 10 official people who are absolutely in the running. And right now we have Carl down at the convention center. If you're just tuning in, they're collecting donations right now for the chapel, the worship chapel down at Igo Cemetery. That's just about ready to be completed, and they're looking for last-minute donations. Good morning, Carl.
Good morning, honey. We're down here at the Civic Center, like you said. People are driving by. It's already starting to drive by and drop off donations. But I've got Senator Marisa Johannesson here, and I want the senator to describe the chapel to everybody.
Okay. Good morning, Senator.
One of the things that I think people ought to do, take a leisurely drive out to Igo and take a look at what is out there. I've been asked, I said, how can you possibly love a cemetery? Go out there. Take a look at the thing. I've seen a lot of cemeteries, and I can tell you, this is an absolute beautiful place. And Steve Jurgens, who runs that place out there, I can tell you, it is meticulous. It is the great. If you take a look at some of these cemeteries for veterans, this will come from top, I guarantee it. Now, the chapel we now are building, and I'm using the term chapel because that's what it is. I don't care what government says. But anyway, the thing is, it's a, you go in there and drive in there and take a look, and you will see it sitting on the right side as you're coming up, overlooking the gravesites. It is a beautiful building. It is all roofed now, and at least we're going to have roof inspection today, by the way. They're checking the nails on the roof, so to speak. But if you walk into this building, you can see exactly what it is. It is beautiful. And I think that anyone going up there, taking a look at this, with all the additional parking and all the stuff that goes on, I guarantee you, you will fall in love with the place as much as I do. So come on out, take a look at it. You'd be amazed. In fact, even though I knew the drawings and everything else, first time I looked at that thing getting hoisted up in the air, I couldn't believe the nice it is. So come on out there, please.
It's going to be just absolutely beautiful. We've seen the artist's rendering, and it is. You know, the walls are up. The roof is almost completed. And Carl, right now we're encouraging our listeners, our beautiful North State here. All of you are so generous. We love this community. And you know this, go ahead.
You know, honey, this building up there at the cemetery is. It befits the beauty of our national, of our cemetery up there for our fallen. And you're right. It isn't just a Redding. This is this isn't Anderson. This isn't Conway. This is the whole North State. Men and women that have served in our country, served for our country are interred there. And they needed this. They needed this final place. You know, people can sit inside and get out of the rain and get out of the heat. And it was needed. And the senator saw that and began what is now coming to fruition. And you can come down to the Civic Center today between 7 o'clock in the morning and 7 p.m. tonight and drop off a donation. And it could be, you know, if you got change in your car, come on down. You got an extra dollar or two. Just drop it off here. It helps pay for this beautiful monument to our heroes.
Well, Carl, someone sent me an email, and I think it's really fitting to read this right now with what you're doing, because this is for the fallen warriors. And they talk, and their wives, who can also be buried. And what's beautiful, you know, how can you love a cemetery? Well, a cemetery to me represents a place of solitude, of quiet, of restfulness, of peacefulness. A time when it's really a place for us to go and go visit our brothers or sisters or a mom or dad. And I don't look at it as gruesome. I look at it as a beautiful place of peace. It's what you think of it in your mind. But today an email came to me that, and we say we're not going to mention some people's names on the air because it's just, you know, a gross, what do I want to say, kind of a Hollywood-ish approach around them, but this one really ties in with what we're talking about here. It says, Lindsay Lohan, 24, gets her name and face all over the news because she went to jail. Justin Allen, 23, Brett Linley, 29, Matthew Weichert, 29, Justice Bartlett, 27, Dave Santos, 21, Chase Stanley, 21, Jesse Reed, 26, Matthew Johnson, 21, Zachary Fisher, 24, Brandon King, 23, Christopher Gokey, 23, and Sheldon Tate, 27, are all Marines that gave their lives for you this week. Honor them. God bless those who keep us free. We're going to take a break. We'll be right back after these messages. Carl is down at the convention center. This is Linda Bott right here on KCNR 1460.
Are you?
Good morning. You're listening to KCNR 1460. This is Linda Bott. Carl is down at the convention center. Right now, if you're just getting in your car, head down to the convention center. We're looking for donations for the memorial chapel that's being erected as we speak at the Igo Cemetery, the beautiful Northern California Veterans Cemetery. Carl, what's happening?
Yeah, good morning, honey. Gosh, the cars are coming by. They've stopped. People are writing checks. People are starting to come by here. It's just we have people, volunteers that have set up for coffee and baskets to help take the donations, and we have one of the volunteers here right now. Pam, good morning.
Good morning, Carl. How are you?
And tell us a little bit about yourself.
I am strictly a volunteer today. Terry Mikesell, who has organized this with Senator Maurice Johansson, has asked me to help out, and so I'm here helping all day from 7 o'clock this morning until 7 o'clock tonight.
Wow.
I tell you what, she's got her red shirt on that says Support Our Troops. And when I walked up this morning, she said she had the radio turned on to KCNR.
Woo!
She listens to us.
Exactly. Love the show.
Oh,
and, you know, it's good to see, you know, there's only one other station out here with us today, and that's KLXR, our sister station. And we think it's so important that people know about what's going on and come on out here and to give a donation. Just, you know, anything that you can give. It doesn't have to be $1,000. It doesn't have to be $100. It's just stop by and help, as the rest of us are doing. And so far, so good, Pam?
So far, so good. I think we're right around $1,000 right now. We've had some $5 donations. We've had some $100 donations. We had an organization last night, Straight Arrow Bow Hunters, that donated $500. So that helps out a lot. And we will take any amount of cash. We've got to raise a lot of money to get the roof up on the Veterans Memorial Chapel.
Well, thank you so much, Pam. Thank you. Thank you for volunteering and for everything you do to help the veterans. And, you know, the trucks are coming by, the motorcycles are rolling in. It's like Pam said, that there's a lot of people coming down. And, you know, $5, you know, $10, whatever you have to come down and get the roof on this chapel. Because I promise you, when you go out there, if you have anybody, any loved one that is going to be interred at Igo with honor, this building will become such an asset to our community and to what's going on out there, Linda.
Well, Carl and I, it's true, Carl, and you know that you and I have been out there several times on the flag line. We've seen people who are in wheelchairs or the elderly and, you know, standing in all different kinds of weather because they're honoring their loved ones that are, you know, in the memorial that day and they're going to be interred. And this is just a beautiful place of worship. It doesn't matter what religion, what creed, what you believe. It's a place to go and honor those who have gone before us. And it's so important to, the word honor is so important. And Carl, I'm sure many people are listening right now, are driving through thinking about, you know, freedom isn't free. We live in a free world. We're very happy to be Americans. We're so very fortunate. I know it's crazy and tumultuous times. We try to be the best that we can be. And part of being the best that we can be is to be generous. And so that's part of what today is. It's going beyond yourself, reaching out a little bit to help in creating a beautiful monument, place of worship.
You know, you're right, Linda. And it's hard to put it in words what, you know, what veterans and what the people that serve, our men and women that have served this country have done for us. And the fact that, you know, we are very divisive at times. But I hope that if anything anybody agrees on is that we owe so much to those men and women that are on the walls out there right now, that have been on the walls, who have fought for us, who have bled for us, who died for us. And if there's nothing else that should bring this country together, that should be it.
Well, we've got a few minutes left. You're coming back into the studio, correct?
Yeah, I'll leave here in a few more minutes to get back, because I wouldn't want to, you know, having Ken Warrenius on in composting is probably a good start, because we're going to start talking with politicians later on today.
Oh, yeah.
So that should help us get started.
We do have Ken Murray on at 8 o'clock, and of course we're going to talk about the 10 people who are seeking the seats in the Reading City Council, who is actually dropped out and who is in. It's currently 62 degrees. It's going to be high today of 95 if you're just tuning in. Carl again is back down at the convention center.
Yeah, there's more people rolling through right now.
Yeah, they're on their way to work.
And here they come. Okay, they're lining up now. Okay, with dogs. I'm hearing that the dogs are coming in. Thank you. So.
Okay. Yeah, they do have their dogs. Let's see. Where's the Harleys, though?
Are we still on?
Yeah, we're still on. Go ahead.
Okay, it's our next door neighbor John with the dogs are here.
Our next door
pilot is rolling through with the dogs.
He's got five
John,
dogs.
Good morning.
This is local radio at its best.
You can hear KCNR over the sound of the dogs.
He's just a great guy. John was in the Air Force, and he now flies a helicopter for search and rescue, or not search and rescue, but it's Reach. Air ambulance, yeah. And he's the guy that goes into the hard-to-find places when somebody's had a heart attack or an automobile accident and goes in there and rescues.
He's the last person you want to see, but the first person you want to see if you need him.
And he keeps weird hours. He's got five dogs who are a lot of fun. You don't hear the dogs, except for when they're probably... Is he driving by in his Volkswagen bus?
No, this one, he had the Jeep.
Oh.
And they were all over. He had Peanut in his lap, so, you know, that was it. And those were parked.
Yeah, that's great, I'll tell you. Okay, well, again, Carl is down at the convention center. We've got 2 minutes left before we take a break for Fox News. Closing thoughts, Carl. Then we've got Ken Warrenius coming in. Oh, my gosh. You got to wait. You got to hang in there because you got to hear this guy. He's amazing.
Okay. Yeah, he is. He talks about gardening. He talks about how to make your yards look great. But it's the way he does it. And we've had him on a couple times before, and the response has been incredible. But you know what we need? We need an incredible response right down here at the Civic Center. Reading, North State. Come by, drop off that money, drop off that $5. Go without your latte today. Go without that scone. Go without that early morning beer like Mike Quinn likes to try. Just stop down and drop that off. That $3 or $4 or $5, that $10. If you've got that money set aside, it's going to a great cause. I promise you, all this money goes to the chapel. It doesn't go anywhere else. It goes to the chapel. There isn't any cutouts in between. So, join us down here today between 7 o'clock in the morning and 7 p.m. tonight.
Okay. Sounds great, Carl. Over and out.
See you in a little bit.
Okay. I'm pulling up the chat room now, so I know you're going to want to be sending me emails and get on the chat room when Ken comes in. We're going to bring him on right after the break. Again, we're going to also be talking about all the good stuff that's going on in town this week. Market Fest is tonight. We've got a band that is called Hard Luck. Sounds like a great time. And the Shasta Vocal Institute concert's happening tonight out at Shasta College, where they're doing opera and wonderful stuff. Club Dead, we're going to be giving tickets away. You're listening to Carl and Linda Bott here on KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. To KCNR 1460 here, the home of Free Fire Media. Good morning, this is Linda Bott. Carl is down, I think finishing up down there at the convention center, but we can hear you. We do have a guest in the studio. He's whispering, but guess what? We're live. Anyway, Carl's down at the convention center, and that's the beauty of live radio. You know, whatever happens, you know, a sneeze, a cough, somebody walking outside, you know, things happen. It is live. You're here. You're 64 degrees right now, and it's going to be high today of 95. The weather is always brought to you by Ensalmo Vineyards. Don't forget that they've got some incredible packages that they're starting to offer to the public, where you can go out and stay the night in their beautiful rooms and have dinner and you know, a beautiful bottle of wine and breakfast. It's all inclusive, and you might want to go call 474-5546 to check that out. So many wonderful memories have been made down at Ensalmo Vineyards. And please mark your calendar for the 20th and the 27th. I'll be out there with some of the North State's best and finest musicians doing an evening of jazz. In the studio right now it's live. You know what we just, you can hear the sip of the coffee. We are talking with a compost expert. And when we first met you, and good morning, Ken Warenius.
Thank you for having me.
What would be the name, what would somebody call you besides their friend?
The worm guy. A lot of people call me the worm guy.
I like the worm guy. I always call you the worm guy. And so we met you some time ago through your lovely wife, Connie, and your sister, Sharon.
Yes.
And anyway, we were thinking, okay, we're going to talk about compost. We were so fascinated. We had so many phone calls. We had so many emails, because there is really something very organic going on. Why don't you just start off with, what is composting, and what is it that you do?
Well, I own a business called Redding Compost Tea, and I sell worms, worm castings, actively aerated compost tea, and I also have a microscope where I do tea evaluations for the biology in the tea. They're talking about compost. There's two kinds of compost. There's vermicompost, and there's thermolytic compost. Vermicompost means castings, worm castings, where the worms decompose and eat everything, and their waste is called vermicompost, or castings. And it's very, very high in microbes, bacteria, fungi, and protozoa. And all these microbes create nutrients for the plant. They take stuff from the air and the soil and the water, and they metabolize it, especially the bacteria and the fungi. And they sequester all these nutrients inside their bodies. And these are nutrients or elements that the plant needs. And they grow and divide and grow and divide. Then along comes these little guys called protozoa, and they eat the bacteria and the fungi, and all of a sudden they have in their body sequestered all these elements. So what they excrete, or what's left when they die, are nutrients in a chelated form that the plants can take up and use.
Lots of big words there, but I keep going back to worm poop.
Oh, yes. Well, that's what it is, basically. Vermicompost has lots of the microbes, but also has many enzymes and amino acids that allow the plants to metabolize all the other elements to grow.
Okay, you're very scientific. How do we compost? How come somebody has great big fat fabulous tomatoes and the other person's tomatoes or vegetables are just not thriving? Is that due to the soil?
Well, it's actually due to a thing called the soil food web. Okay, when we want to grow plants, good plants, we have to deal with soil chemistry, soil biology, and soil physics. My passion is the soil biology. And the biology, if you have copious quantities of biology in your soil, along with proper physics and chemistry, your plants will thrive. Our health is very important to us, and health comes from healthy plants, and healthy plants comes from healthy soil. Healthy soil is alive, copious quantities of microbes living in it, and that's the difference between organic growing and using chemicals.
Okay, well, there you go, because we were talking about, like, for instance, this is just a sidebar, but it does coincide with those people who grow medical marijuana, and that they need that for medicinal purposes. Okay, we think that that's okay. I mean, really, because it takes the place of pain medication.
But for the people who are growing it illegally and they're bringing up the pesticides that are illegal and they're ruining the forest floor, that is something we need to shine a light on of how bad it truly is affecting the soil, which then runs into our streams, which we may be getting indirectly and not even realize that we're getting into these horrible pesticides.
Linda, I could not agree with you more. These big commercial farms, they are, damaging the soil a great deal. And what's really sad, they would even grow bigger pot plants if they went organic. And they'd be healthier for the consumer and everything else. So, yes, I totally agree with you. We have to stop that. It's not a good thing.
We got to take a break. We're with Ken Werenius. You know, you're fascinating. We're going to be taking emails and phone calls here. But we'll be right back after these messages. North State. Yeah, you're listening to 1460 here. This is Carla Lindebach. Carl is back in the studio. He's been down at the convention center. We're going to keep telling you to keep your radios tuned in to 1460. Head on to the convention center where they're collecting money and donations for the Warriors Memorial or Chapel.
Out there at ICO. That's right. And you know what? What a great effort it is down there. They've got tables set up. You've got a bunch of volunteers are rolling in there. There's flags up there, and people are coming through. And as they're coming through, they're dropping off donations to help raise the roof. They're already up to $1,000. And the goal, I believe, today is $25,000.
Oh, we're going to reach the goal. We will.
But the bottom line is, though, is that people are dropping by. They're dropping off what they can do. They're on their way to work. And I'd like to encourage our listeners and the people of the North State to come on down there and drop it off. Anyway, hey, Ken, it's good seeing you again.
Well, it's good being here.
Okay, well, tell our listeners about tea, what worm tea is.
Well, what I sell is a product called Actively Aerated Compost Tea. And anybody can make it. It's real simple. You get some water, you put some worm castings in with some molasses and sea kelp and fish hydrosolate, and you aerate it very, very well with a really good air pump. And the microbes that were inside the worm castings are in the solution, and because of the air and the food, they multiply by copious quantities. And that is the quickest, cheapest, easiest way to put life back into your soil.
Well, that sounds fascinating. And you are down at the farmer's market.
Yes, farmer's market every Saturday, 7 to 12 o'clock at City Hall.
All right. So people who are trying to grow organic gardens or roses or whatever
absolutely.
And they're trying to formulate or figure out what they're doing wrong, they can come and ask the expert. You're there.
I love people to come out on down Saturday. I usually have a big group around me. I talk constantly, and I share my knowledge about the soil food web.
Well, we have a caller. Let's go to the phones. Good morning, Sean. You are live on
it's
KCNR.
John.
Oh, John!
Hi, Linda.
Oh,
well, you know, we have the younger ears on the board today, and they're still learning this radio stuff.
Well, hey, that's the Irish name.
Yeah,
that'll work.
Well, John, welcome. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you this morning?
We're great.
Good morning to Carl and Ken.
Well, good morning, John.
I have a couple of things I wanted to say to Ken. First of all, the worm tea that I picked up from you on Saturday last has really vitalized my ficus tree that I have inside the house, and it's sprouting new leaves and going crazy. It looks fantastic, and thank you very much for that. I appreciate it.
Well, you're more than welcome, sir.
But I would really like to have you address the restorative capabilities of worm tea and all of your products, but how they can actually help the plant not just grow but repair itself from disease and how the microbes and the microbiology work to affect that repair.
Hey, John, I understand you, too, that you take baths in this worm tea, and it
I
keeps you young.
I feel so much better because of it. You ought to see the hair sprouting out. It's actually not gray anymore. It's dark brown.
Okay, Ken.
Well, the thing about the worm tea is it has so many microbes. And like one teaspoon, you can have over a billion bacteria. You can have 8 to 100 yards of fungi filament. And all these little microbes, they will create antibiotics. different things that help the plant become healthier and healthier. If the plant's healthy and we eat it, we become healthy.
See, that's the whole beauty of the organic process.
Yes.
Of growing healthy, eating healthy. Let's talk a little bit about the organic process and what's happening with the statistics of the food that we buy in the grocery store.
Oh, boy. It has been proven that the organic foods are generally healthier for you. They have a higher Brix count and higher mineral count. When you're growing with chemicals and stuff like that, you're basically dealing with a sterile soil, because whenever you have high salt content fertilizers, the salt inside the fertilizer actually through the process of osmosis will draw the moisture out of the microbes and kill them. And so it's very important that we go organic and get away from the chemicals as much as possible.
We had my chat room keeps coming in and out here on my computer. I got to figure out with my web guide today. But there was somebody emailed in, or what do you want to call it, chatted and talked about in Vancouver, in the apartments in Vancouver, their government there, or what do you want to call it, the city of Vancouver, is teaching their people in apartment how to compost.
Yes.
And you're saying that's happening in San Francisco.
Yes, yes. I see it more and more to where all your green waste, they're asking you to compost it now, one way or another, either vermicompost or thermolytic. Now, we were talking earlier about vermicompost. Thermolytic compost is where you put everything in a pile and, it decomposes. Let's go into that just a little bit if we can. It's important that you turn your compost pile, because if you don't turn it, you get anaerobic microbes. Your anaerobic microbes will create phenols, alcohol, formaldehyde, bad stuff. So that's why we want to turn it, and we want to make sure that it gets all over 135 degrees for a minimum of 3 days. And we want it not to get over 160. If it goes over 160, then all the microbes start dying.
So if you build a compost pile, do you say you have a garden, you start throwing everything in the corner in a big heap.
Right.
Do you go out there with a thermometer then?
Absolutely.
Oh, okay.
And you want to keep the right moisture, too, not too dry and not too wet. You want to be able to reach in, grab a handful, squeeze it, and get one or two drops out.
Wow.
Yeah. And if you're not going to take the time to do all that, well, then I suggest people go to vermicomposting, because then you can just throw all your kitchen waste and everything into your worms. The worms will eat it, and you don't have to worry about temperature. You don't have to worry about turning and all that kind of stuff.
So is that in a is that you put that in a can, or is that still out in the garden, the verma?
The vermicompost, I like the bigger the container, the more room that the worms have to escape to a safe spot. So I like 4 foot by 4 foot by, 12 inches.
So how much do worms cost?
Worms are 20, well, if you go out and dig them yourself, they're nothing.
Right.
But if you want to come down to Farmer's Market on Saturday and buy them, they're $20 for approximately 1,000 worms, and they come in a little worm box.
Do they have names?
Well, we try naming them, but we just run out of names.
Do you have little brands on them so we can make sure that there's no worm stealing going on in the neighborhood?
I do sell the brands. Yes.
Okay, great. Okay, we have to take a break here. I'm sorry. This is a serious subject. Carl and Linda Bott, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460, home of Free Fire Media. KCNR 1460, that's Carl and Linda Bott. Good morning. It is 7:55 in the morning. This portion of the show brought to you by B&T Satellite. Doug Tooley down there on Airport Road. Been in the business since 1985, taking time out, of course, being the 82nd Airborne. And speaking of airborne and veterans, remember, go down to the Civic Center today. Drop off your dollar, your $5, your $100, that $25,000 check you just happen to have in the back seat because you just sold that last crop of medicinal marijuana. You just stop down there and drop it off at the Civic Center so we can raise the roof on the new chapel out at Igo at the Veteran Cemetery out there. Our guest, Ken Warrenius, is the Worm Master.
Hey, Ken, we've got a couple of things that have come up in the chat room. My chat room keeps dropping, so while it's up, in regards to the moles, Ken has developed a worm bell that drives them away.
Yeah, I call it a mole bell. And real quick, you just take a gallon-sized glass jar, set it in the ground where the open end is about 3 inches out of the ground. You build a tripod about 4 foot high above that. You hang a string and then about an 18 or longer inch wind chime. and hang it so it's just barely dangling inside the glass jar. So when the wind blows, this clang, clang, clang will scare them all away. And I've had great success with it.
Wow. Yeah. Now, can you have, if somebody wants to come down to the farmer's market, do you have any worm bells there for?
No, but I'll gladly draw them a picture of how to do it.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, mole bells.
Mole
bells,
wow. I call it, yeah.
Okay, the other one is, it asked the worm guy about the water aging and his mole bell that drives away the moles that are voracious in eating worms if they get into your worm bed.
If they get in your worm bed, you're in trouble, you know. It's hard, you know, one mole can eat 40 to 50,000 worms a year, and they're a big pain. Once they're inside the beds, it's really hard to find them, and hopefully you can scare them away, but there's so much food there, they want to stay.
Well, last year, I'm so glad that we reconnected with you, because last year, you would drop off some worm tea for us, and we grew tomatoes, and we had wonderful squash. We didn't do it this year, you know, starting this whole radio. I mean, we just, you know, we're lucky that we've got plants that are actually living. But, you know, so it really was effective. It didn't work, and it's so we're so happy to have this, to be able to share this knowledge of what you've got. So much knowledge. People can come down to the farmer's market, talk to you about their organic composting, and there's two words again that you use, thermolytic
and vermicompost, and it's just different ways to decompose organic material.
Well, you know, Ken, thank you so much.
Well, thank you
for being with us today, and you know, our segments usually don't go for the whole 30 minutes about for one thing, but we've enjoyed having you on before. You're so enthusiastic about what you do.
And I love it.
And, you know, and it can help people. And people are really into the green side nowadays. They're trying to do things themselves. They're trying to do things organically and without pesticides, without you know, all these little nutrients that you get out of a box or that you spray on. So, I mean, these you grow yourself. And it sounds like once you get the worm bed going, it just kind of stays there.
Well, you know, it's just not the worm bed. It's the soil food web, which is the complex matrix of all the living entities in the soil. And what we want to do is promote that growth, that life in the soil.
And it's one thing, too, Ken. I think many people are feeling that with what's happening in our society, things are changing so rapidly. And what we thought it was at one time isn't. And, you know, we hear that a lot with what we're doing, that people are feeling out of control or they're frustrated. If you could have a little plot in your backyard of something that you can nourish and grow and control and help and eat from it and thrive from it, what a beautiful cycle of life. It gives you hope.
Yes, it definitely does. We see more and more of the schools, the churches, all kinds of different organizations are starting their own home gardens now. Nowadays, you can go to the hydroponic stores. They have copious quantities of different materials and information that we just didn't have before.
Yeah.
And so it's a good thing.
Great.
All right, so we have people. How about a website? We've got people chatting about, what's your website?
ReddingCompostTea.com.
Great. Thank you so much. Thanks
Thank
a lot,
you.
Ken. Hey, and speaking of guests, our guest for the next hour will be Ken Murray, who is running for the city council. If you have questions for Ken, our phone number here is 605-4567, or you can write to Linda at linda@kcnr1460.com. There's going to be, we've got a lot of questions, I'm sure, from people. We've got 10 people looking to fill 3 seats for this city council. We're going to have all of the city council, or at least we're going to try and have all the city council
candidates
in here over the next month or two, and then even host a debate. So that should be a lot of fun. And there's a lot of things on the front page here that fall into what we're going to be talking about today with Ken. So this is Carl Lindebaugh, Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460, clearly News Talk Radio.
Be out there right now.
CNR Shasta Redding.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. It's Carl and Linda Bott. Good morning. It's 8:05 in the morning. It is August 12th, a Thursday, which means tomorrow being Friday the 13th. we'll try to do the show from the house.
Tomorrow night we're going to, actually, if you want to give us a call, 605-4565, that's our office number. We've got two more tickets. If you'd like to join the KCNR group tomorrow night, we're going to go see Club Dead out at Riverfront Playhouse, and we'd love to have you join us.
This portion of the show brought to you by Tobacco and Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive. Joe and Shelley have a great establishment there, the finest walk-in humidor in the state. Espresso Joe's, get that coffee, any kind you want. You get that iced coffee, you get any type of brew that you want. They fix it so many different ways. And then you can take it next door to the community room and enjoy a free Wi-Fi, look at your computer, and just relax in this time of stress. So,
and
Joe and Shelley down, they're great people.
Yeah, the last time that we had our next guest that we saw you was at Tobacco and Brew, and we're so happy to have you here with us this morning. Good morning, Ken Murray.
Good morning, Carl and Linda.
Congratulations for throwing your hat back into the ring.
Thank you.
And I think many of our listeners have been wondering, why are you, what has inspired you? Let's just start off with that. What has inspired you to come back into the race?
I've lived here for 40 years. I raised my family here. I've made a living here. I've been involved in the community for all that time. And I don't like what's happening. And, you know, if you don't like what's happening, you can either complain about it or try to do something about it. I happen to be the kind of person that prefers to be involved rather than just sit on the sidelines and complain.
Well, you've been the city councilman, twice and mayor once.
Mayor twice.
And so you know your way around City Hall, obviously.
I do.
But there's been also, there's a lot of, but since you've been in the job before,
mm-hmm.
there's baggage that tends to come with that. People have tied you to...
there's also presence that come with it.
Yeah, that's true. But there's other things that have also tied you to things. Right now, the city is going through a tremendous upheaval, I believe, not only just because of the recession. There's a variety of reasons, but the main one right now is what's going on with the unions and the city in negotiations. Do you have a comment on that?
You didn't ask a question.
Well, the negotiations that I saw the other day were
acrimonious.
Acrimonious, but they're also, you know, doesn't seem to be any give right now on either side, though there should be some room there to win.
Actually, I disagree.
On which one?
The unions have all agreed to give. There's no give on the part of the council.
Okay.
Zero. As a matter of fact, the unions have offered... It's easy to focus on part of the problem. I mean, the whole nation is in the tubes right now. The recession is horrible. It's horrible in Reading. It's horrible everywhere. None of us caused the recession, you know, but we all have to deal with it, and each of us deal with it in our own way. You know, we eat less steak and more hamburger or bologna sandwiches or whatever it is. We don't take exotic vacations. We stay home. Each of us deals with it in our own way, and the city is not immune from that. The city has had severe budget reductions. You know, I've said before, and I'll say again, we'll be one of the last 15 cities in the state of California to go bankrupt. It's a very well-run city. However, the upheaval takes different dimensions for different folks. I look at the city employees in terms of what is their total compensation. This argument with the unions, to my mind, is unseemly. The unions, you know, several things. First, the pension system is unsustainable. It's unsustainable by anybody's estimation, including the unions. They agree it's unsustainable. How, you know, but to say that people yesterday are responsible for things today is kind of revisionist history, because it makes the guy today look good. When the city first got into PERS back in the 80s, it was free. I mean, were the city council people in the 80s idiots because they opted for a free thing? Well, maybe in hindsight, if you want to say that you're the most intelligent person in the world and you knew everything that was going to happen in the future in the 1980s, then the archpews of the world that voted for becoming part of PERS for free are a bunch of idiots. I don't take that position. You know, you make decisions in real time, just as you would on the battlefield, Carl. You make decisions in real time about the situation you're confronted with. And that's what prior councils have done. The situation now is that people have to give. And, in fact, the employees of the city have given a great deal. Maybe they haven't given enough yet. Maybe there's more that needs to be given. But when I look at this debate in terms of who's giving what, basically we have employees that, as part of their total compensation, includes health benefits, retirement, and pay. The unions have agreed to give up the dollar equivalent of whatever the need is. The council has taken the position, you will only give it up out of PERS, or we don't want it. That's ludicrous. Money's money. As a part of total benefit, total compensation, whatever pocket I take it out of is money out of my pocket, if I'm an employee. I don't understand why the council is insisting on you take it out of your right pocket instead of your left pocket.
Okay, we've got to take a quick break on this. Our guest is Ken Murray, running for city council. Ken's opinion is that hey, the unions have offered up money. They're just not the type of money that the sitting city council wants to accept. Carl Underbot, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media.
Hi.
Radio on KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. It's Carl Underbot. It is 8:12 in the morning. August 12th.
Currently 69 degrees. It's going to be a high today of 95. The weather's always brought to you by Anselmo Vineyards.
This portion of the show brought to you by B&T Satellite. Airport Road, right down from Burrito Bandito. Doug Tooley, the owner, has been around there since 1985, taking time out to be with the 82nd Airborne. Go down there. He has surround sound, home theater systems, dish TV, which is what he does. He is the dish man you want to see here in Reading. It's Doug Tooley, B&T Satellite on Airport Road.
Our guest this morning is
Ken Murray.
Of course. The one and only Ken Murray running for city council. Yeah. We are taking your emails at KCNR 1460. I'm sorry, my chat room is being funky this morning, so do email us. And I do have an email that's come in. Go ahead.
Okay, before we get to the emails,
all right.
You said that it has to be changed. The unions have to be changed. Retirement has to be changed. How should it be changed?
Through negotiations.
Yeah, but what do you see has to be changed, though? You.
What do I personally see has to be changed?
Change.
I think there are a lot of ways that it can change. For one thing, I think we have to bifurcate the situation. First of all, you have to realize that the council can do all the posturing in the world they want, but a contract's a contract. You can't just ignore a contract. They have contracts, and they have vested rights. So the first thing I do is look specifically at any new hire in the city not getting the same benefits that the old hires got.
So you're looking for a two-tiered system then?
Yeah, I think we have to have a two-tiered system.
What do you think the unions think of that?
I suspect they don't like it.
Yeah, they're going to fight that. They've already said that.
Oh, so. Well, that's what I think needs to happen.
Okay.
Okay. I think that the health benefits need to change.
In what way?
Personally, I would favor a cafeteria style. I would prefer a defined contribution instead of a defined benefit system. So that we know we're going to pay, you know, $500 a month in total insurance, and you pick whether you want eye care, teeth care, health care, your kids included or not included. Currently, everybody is included for anything. And with all that's going on in the healthcare industry, there's no way to have control of costs. In a defined contribution system, the city would put up X dollars per month per employee and say, you know, select for whatever you want. Many industries do that. As opposed to, you know, we'll give you womb to tomb healthcare. I don't think there's any other way to control costs going forward. But all of that has to be negotiated.
And the negotiations, the contract is up next year.
Well, for some unions, but the city has 9 unions.
Right, but for the police, it's up for next year, I believe.
For the
Officers Association, not the managers.
Right, it's up in March.
Right. Okay, let's go to the phones. Randy, you have a question for Ken?
Yes, hello, thank you. Mr. Murray, the city managers have taken a 10% pay cut and also a 10% reduction in monthly work days. You know, as a business owner, if I'm taking a pay cut, I certainly can't afford to take more days off. Do you think that's a fair concession on their part? And also, do you think we're top-heavy at management, and could we reduce those levels? Thank you.
Thank you. You know, I haven't been there a couple of years. We may be top-heavy in management levels. But keep in mind, the city manager has a contract, too. I mean, again, that's a voluntary give-back. He doesn't have to do that. He's got a contract. So I kind of see it as a show of leadership.
That they're giving back the 10%. They're not really giving it back. Isn't this just on hold?
I think
from what I understand, I think that
I think they're giving it back. Certainly taking the furlough days
right.
is a direct hit on the on their monthly take home pay. So I think that's leadership.
I think it's equivalent of 9 to 10%. You're right. Going back then to where we're at right now. So you're saying is that the pension has to change.
Yes.
Okay. You're saying it's got to probably be broken into a two-tiered system.
I'm saying that that ought to be given serious consideration, ought to be negotiated.
Okay. What about the three at 50?
That needs to be negotiated also, but yet, you know, we don't live in a vacuum here. The recession affects all of the United States. It affects all of the cities, all of the counties, and it affects, you know, everybody. Nonetheless, you know, we hire people in the open market. And if, I mean, we can say, okay, we're only going to give you 2% at 50 if you're a new hire, and nobody applies for a job because they're all going to cities that are paying 3% at 50, you know, where are we? This problem was created by Gray Davis and the prison union, the prison guards union, is part of the giveaway. And the city council, which I was not part of, in 2002 voted to go to 3% at 50. Should they have done so? Well, the argument is not about, to my mind, is about could they hire anybody if they didn't? And I think the state has to fix the problem and in conjunction with the cities and the counties. I don't think any one part of it can fix the whole problem. We got to fix it together.
I think you're right. There's a book written called Plunder about the public unions and what has happened to the state of California since then. The fact is that everything does have to be changed. I don't think anybody is disagreeing with that. The unions aren't disagreeing with it. The people that are paying for it aren't disagreeing with it. But I don't, you know, it's this type of thing is when it goes into negotiations. When has there been less money offered and accepted, or less benefits offered and accepted in the last, say, 8 years?
Well,
you've been associated with us for the last 8 years. I mean, either on it or at least following it.
Not for the last couple of years.
Yeah.
Actually, I don't know what's gone on in the last couple of years in the contracts. I know, for example, back in 2005, I mean, everything is wonderful, right? We're not in any recession. Everybody's making money hand over fist. And the city of Redding couldn't hire any cops. Couldn't. Just flat couldn't. The then chief came to the council and said, I can't hire any cops. And we said, what's it take to hire cops? And he said, more money. So we passed a raise of, I think, 9% for cops. And once we passed the raise, then we had applicants again. You deal with what's before you at the time. Now, you can look back and say, well, that stupid council, they should have known that was going to be in the deep doo-doo in 2008, 9, and 10. And never done that. But the reality was, we couldn't hire any cops. There's a shortage of police officers statewide, and we compete for that pool.
Okay, we're going to take a break here. Our guest is Ken Murray, running for city council, former council member. Has thrown himself back into the fray again. Carl and the Bot, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media.
Hi, this is Diane from Country Kitchen.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. It's Carl and Linda Bott. It's 8:24 in the morning. It's August 12th. Good morning. It's our guest is Ken Murray, running for city council. People on the line, people are burning up the chat room and sending in emails. They love you, Ken. Or at least they love having you on.
No, they love to hate me, one or the other.
Yeah, so how's it feel to be backed by the police union?
Great. You know, I've been backed by the police union every time I've run. And that's because I think it's the first responsibility of government. We shouldn't be laying off cops, ever. And I'm proud to have their endorsement. Other unions, on the other hand, I have an iffy relationship with over the years. I've had some union backing, and some say there's no way in hell they'd ever back me for anything. I've never been in a union. I don't have any problem with unions. I think they collective bargaining is part of the law, and it's just something you live with and deal with, and you work within that framework. It's interesting that this time most of the unions have chosen to back me. But I think that's a result of what they see as an unwillingness to negotiate and entrenchments on the part of the current city council. I believe in the process. I believe in America. I believe in the process in law. And the process in law is you negotiate. The last resort is you impose something. I mean, there's always a last resort, but you don't start there. You negotiate. And so I'm grateful for the support I'm getting.
Okay. Let's go to the phones. John. Good morning, John. John?
Good morning, Kent. Good morning.
Morning.
Okay, you're on, John.
Good morning, Carl, Linda, and
good morning.
Ken, and Bad Bob, of course.
Well, it's really, it's on Tiny
time.
Teresa.
Yeah, thank you, John. We have a new gal at the boards. Bobby, although Bob is in the room, Teresa.
Hi, Teresa.
Teresa is on this morning, so yeah.
Listen, I have a question or two for Ken.
Go ahead.
And to begin with, the current board has been extremely contentious, and there's not much likelihood that that's going to change no matter who's elected. And
well, I disagree with that to start with. I think that if we have less contentious people, then we won't have contention.
But there is contention there now.
I agree.
And do you feel like you can fit in with that board that exists now or whoever's going to be on it?
Well, I can fit in with anybody. I will tell you over the years that I've been involved in various elected boards, you know, I started on a school board. You know, I'm kind of different. I mean, for one thing, I read everything in sight. I talk to people. I try to know the subjects. And I try to disagree agreeably. But as a person, if I take a position and it is not adopted by the majority of the council or the board, whatever I'm sitting on, and I lose the vote, I move on to the next thing. I don't worry about what happened yesterday. That's the system in the United States.
I have found that to be the case with you, Ken. Particularly, you're probably the most informed city councilman I've ever experienced. You read the issues, you know what's going on, and if you're going to make a comment about it, it seems to have some something that connects to the issue itself rather than just self-posturing.
Well, thank you.
All of that being said, now, I have one other question, and I'm going to put it out there and probably take the answer off the air, but as you said, you've had the police union backing, the service people's backing all the way through.
No, just the police union is the only backing I've had all the way through.
Now, my concern here is that this year, because of all of the problems that have gone on, the police union has gone out and recruited people to run for office and,
right,
in effect, are lobbying people to go in and replace those who disagreed with anything that had anything to do with their contract negotiation. I don't think this is a healthy concept, and I'd like you to comment on it.
Well, I never heard the ad, and I did not respond to it. They didn't recruit me. So I don't directly know what happened there. But a union is like anything else. They do what they see is in their vested best interest. Whether or not it works is always a risk they take in doing that. But I was not one of their recruits.
Okay, that all being said, and that's fine, but what about this concept of buying legislators for themselves. And not altogether lastly, you mentioned earlier about the contracts themselves. The contracts are not sustainable, and that's pretty clear, and it doesn't look like there's going to be a growing amount of tax base to increase the ability to support those contracts. So either they're going to make some adjustments in the contract, or they're going to be laying people off, and it seems to be that even the union itself is opting in letting them lay people off rather than negotiate validly down. And you mentioned that the PERS offer as opposed to the cash offer
John, we're going up a hard... a hard break.
I just want some more comment about that PERS cash negotiation, because it doesn't seem like it's equal to me. It looks like it's ongoing, and they want to buy a year of negotiation. I'm off.
Okay. Thanks, John.
Thanks, John. Hold that thought. We're going to take a break here.
Yeah. When we come back, can we answer that? And plus, we want to move on to other. We have other people on the lines. We have other emails. We want to go and talk about jobs and what's going on also in our city. Carl Lindebaugh, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media.
Fox News Radio, I'm Lori London. He killed five of his victims, wounded 20 others. A suspected serial stabber apprehended in Atlanta.
Police have yet.
KCNR 1460. It's currently 71 degrees, going to be high today of 95. By the way, don't forget. From 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. tonight, it's 8:30, so already. Down at the convention center, they are taking donations for the wonderful chapel that they're building up at the Igo Cemetery. Senator Johansson is down there with the folks, and we just wanted to encourage you to go down and make a donation. Go ahead, Ken, you're waving your hand.
I drove down there and on my way here. And
thank you.
Made a donation and got a hug and a kiss from one of the young ladies.
Well, no wonder you're just you're gaming.
Yeah, but young to you is a relative term.
You're so bad.
Yeah.
That, you know,
you're young.
Hey, let's go to the phones this morning. Our guest is Ken Murray, if you're just tuning in.
Well, we want to answer that last question.
Oh, dear. Hold on.
Sure. I don't think the problem isn't money currently. Everybody acknowledges there's no money. The problem is the people involved in the process. Maybe the union people, maybe the council. The problem is the people. We got to get this acrimony off the front page of the newspaper. That's a big barrier to creating new jobs in our town. You know, you deal with your problems not on the front page of the newspaper. You deal with them through negotiations. I mean, whoever's on the city council, let's say the entire council was to go away and a new council was to come tomorrow, the new council will have exactly the same amount of money. But will they have the same problem? You know, I say you just sit down and say, I got this much money that I can afford to pay. How do you want it? Where do you want it to come from? It seems to me the unions have offered dollar equivalent concessions out of other parts of their total compensation, and the current council is demanding it only come out of one part of their compensation. I think it takes a different attitude down there.
I thought, from what I heard when I was down there, said the union said we offer $400,000, wherever it was, to save these four jobs. But we want to push negotiations back 1 year. The council says we'll be glad to take that money, and whatever that money was. But we want the negotiations to start now because we can't keep kicking it down the road. I don't understand this part about two different pockets.
Well, I guess if I were a current employee, I wouldn't trust the current council either and would want an extension to try to get a different council.
Well, that may be, but that's not what that's not what was said. What was said was is we will give you this much money if we push negotiations back a year. And the council said, fine, give us the money, but we want to start negotiations. What was wrong with that?
The police managers union gave concessions, and
yes,
they don't have a contract.
They didn't have to.
They didn't have to do anything. They didn't. I mean, their contract isn't up for 2 years.
They didn't have to.
And they didn't ask for anything.
The majority, though, comes out of the Police Officers Association.
Wait. So the police officers are looking at the police managers who are offering something for free, okay, and aren't asked to do anything, and then it comes up again this year. That they did that last year. This year, the police managers offer to do it again, and the council says, well, we want this, that, and the other thing. And the police officers are looking at that and saying, giving away something for free isn't getting us anywhere. Therefore, we better get something for it. Again, it's the people that are the problem. not the amount of money. The amount of money stays the same. And like I say, we've got to get it off the front page of the newspaper and into negotiations.
Okay.
Now let's go to the phones. Charles, you're on line two with Ken Murray.
Yeah, good morning.
Morning.
Yeah, my question is that if RPOA especially is so interested in negotiations, why do they insist so much on a 12-month delay in the start of negotiations, given that when the current contract expires in March of next year, there will be a new PIM, or whoever gets voted in November will be on the council the following March 2011, and so the same council in March 2011 will be the same council in March 2012, and so that argument really doesn't hold a lot of water, but yet they insist on a 12-month delay in the start of negotiation via a 12-month extension in the extant contract.
All right.
Okay, thank you, Charles.
Let me try to respond to that. If you're going to give something, you kind of want something for what you're giving. And I think the problem is bigger than that. This is not the first time the city's ever been broke. Okay? In fact, it's not the worst broke the city has ever been. The city was more broke in 1991, 92, 93. What happened was the state of California came in to all the cities in the state and took all their money away. Okay. In fact, I wasn't on the council then, but I went down as part of a three busloads of people from Reading, sponsored by the Chamber of Commerce, to go pick at the Capitol. It was a state raid on local treasuries. What the city did at that time was they effectively went to zero-based budgeting. Okay. They wiped out their reserves. They had $0 in reserves. Zero. Okay? They laid off employees, except they didn't lay off one public safety employee. This council is sitting on millions of dollars in reserves that they say can't be touched, okay, and has already laid off 10 cops and plans on laying off 14 more by the end of the year. You see, it's an attitude of what's important.
You know, and that is a good point that needs to be addressed, is the amount of money we have in the budget, in the surplus, that hasn't been talked about. And one of the things I want to do, we've got to take another break, is...
Well, you have a lot of commercials.
Well, not as many as you used to.
Hey, Kim, I'm sorry.
Besides, you need a break, Kim, because your face has turned red.
Hey, Kim, call us back. We're sorry we dropped your call, but we got to call us. The line is open. Give us a call here, 605-4567. You're listening to Carl and Linda Bott here on Free Fire Radio. This is KCNR 1460.
We're speaking with Mr.
Welcome back to KCNR 1460. This is Carla Lindabot here on Free Fire Radio. Currently 71 degrees. Going to be high today of 95. We're going to be moving into some triple digit figures. But today, enjoy the beautiful day. Let's not forget that Tobacco and Brew is one of our major sponsors. And we want to talk to you about a cigar event that's happening August 18th from 6 to 8. They're going to have Churchill, Robusto, and Corona Larga and Toro. For those of you who love your cigars, mark the event. They're also going to be giving you one free cigar from Tobacco and Brew Choice. If you've not been to their cigar nights, they are pretty spectacular. In our studio today, our special guest is Ken Murray, who is running for City Council. We are taking your emails, Linda at KCNR1460.com. We are up, and we are also taking your calls. We have a caller on the line right now.
But before we get to that caller, we're kind of changing subjects completely here. Front page news: personal income down in Reading.
Mm-hmm.
Recession hits harder in other areas.
Mm-hmm.
We know that the unemployment rate here is 16.7, at least.
Mm-hmm.
In reality, it's more than that. It's probably mm-hmm. well over 20. We know that. City Council, you're in the City Council. What are you going to do to try and bring in other businesses Are you going to take a look at the fees, the regulations? Give us just a snapshot of what you would do to try to bring business back to this area.
I'd get the council off the front pages and all their arguments, for one thing. I know that businesses who look at an area will start months in advance subscribing to the newspaper and see what the try to get the pulse of the community. That's just standard operating procedure. We've got to get off the front pages. You know, we're not in any different boat than anybody else. I think that I would like to see more infill development and less sprawl development. I would like to take a look at the development fees and make them lower for infill development to simulate the center of the community, and perhaps penalize those who are building at the fringes of the community, because the fringe of the community costs more money to service. I mean, you got to send a cop farther, you got to send a fire engine farther, all that kind of stuff. But I think attitude counts for everything. I think you got to have a place in the game, and that we can do anything we want, stand on our heads, but until the economy comes back, nothing's going to happen. I mean, I can't make it happen. All I can do is prepare for when it does happen.
Okay. Let's go to the phone.
Kim, good morning. You're welcome. You're on.
Good morning, Linda.
Yes.
Good morning, Carl.
You are live, and so are we. Good morning.
Good morning. I want to give you an update on collecting donation for the chapel.
Yeah.
Oh, yay.
Yes, we went over $12,000.
$12,000?
$2,000.
Yes.
Okay.
Oh,
and now we have our Congressman Wally Herger is here collecting money, and we have a Missing in America project and here collecting money, and we have a numerous organization people out here collecting money.
You say Wally Herger is there?
Yes. Our Congressman Wally Herger is here.
Oh. Well, hey, Kim, when you get off the phone, ask Congressman Herger if he wants to come on the show.
Oh, okay. I could ask him that, but, you know, I just want to give you an update and thank you for the order of people coming by, dropping money, but we're going to have a long day and we need a lot more money.
That's right, we
do. Our goal is $25,000, and we need every person to just come on out. No money is too little or no money is too large, so we need all the help we could get.
Absolutely. And, Kim, with people like you, I know they're going to be able to make that goal.
Thank you,
and
Kim.
And thank you so much for all you guys' effort and all you're doing
for
us.
Thank you.
All right. Thanks, Kim.
Thank you. Again,
they'll be collecting donations down at the Convention Center till 7 p.m. tonight. So if you're just tuning in, you're on your way to work, you've got a moment at your lunch hour or you just head on down there and like what Kim said, nothing's too little and nothing's too large. This is a community project, and we're finishing the roof on the chapel. Our guest this morning is Ken Murray. Ken, here
yes.
we are. Here we are. You're back in the race.
I'm back in the race. You know, there are other issues in this race than just the acrimony on the council.
Absolutely. And we're going to take a quick break here, and we come back. We're going to come back and hit those in our last segment, Ken. All right. Carl and Linda Bott, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460, home of Free Fire Media.
Back down. No, I won't back down.
Good morning.
You can stand me up at the gates of hell, but I won't.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. I'd like to listen to that last part. Okay, our guest is Ken Murray.
I won't back down. There you go. So, hey, we've got just, we want to finish up with, what are the issues, Ken?
I think there's some other issues. One issue is, I don't know what we're spending that money up on Oasis Road for. All it benefits is one developer that was the single major campaign contributor to one of the incumbents, and there are other road issues that are much more important to me. Finishing Placer between Buenaventura and Air Park Drive to a four-lane road, widening Victor to four lanes from 44 to Hartnell, widening Hartnell from Victor to Shastaview to four lanes. Those are a lot more important to I think, the people of the community as opposed to throwing all this money at one private developer. Another important issue is what's coming in the future and planning for the future. You know, when I look ahead, one of the things we need to do is enter a tax exchange agreement with the county so we get out of this battles of the past over who's going to get a shopping center where and have them go where they're best for the community rather than where they're best for the tax base. And that could be done now. When nobody has any money is the perfect time to enter into a money agreement. Looking forward, one of the biggest issues we're going to face is implementation of AB 32, which was the cap and trade that Schwarzenegger, in my opinion, ignorantly jammed through the California state legislature. Well, we own an electric utility, and I've been intimately involved with that utility for a long time, and was instrumental in saving the utility back in the late 90s when deregulation came about. And it's one of the things I'm proudest of. But looking forward, cap-and-trade legislation, which is a joke, is nonetheless now the law of the land. And protecting our utility from that kind of legislation and the implementation thereof, I see as a major issue facing us in the future. And personally, I mean, all ego aside, I'm the best guy to do that. I mean, I've already lobbied on electric issues in Sacramento and Washington, D.C. I know the issues and I know the intricacies of it. And we've got to be prepared to fight that fight.
Okay, let's go to the phones. James, good morning. You're on KCNR.
Yeah.
You're on, James.
How's it going? I had a question for Ken. He just made reference to the Oasis Road project. And I was wondering, I thought from in the past that Ken Murray was part of councils that approved the Stillwater Business Project, which I think was a big waste of money. And I was just wondering if he's, I guess, condemning that project, why was it okay for the Stillwater Business Park to be brought on?
Thank you, James.
Okay. I mean, I hear that a lot. I was not on the council that did the Stillwater Business Park. In fact, Stillwater Business Park came up as a campaign issue in 1998. Pat Kite ran on that issue. I didn't. Pat Kite won election. I didn't. The councils, starting in 99-2000, built Stillwater Business Park. They got all the grant funds together. The only thing I ever had to do with the Stillwater Business Park was when I was elected in 2004. We had to manage the remainder of the grant funds, and I voted to stop it at the end of Phase 1 and not continue with Phase 2 until Phase 1 proved itself. Stillwater Business Park is not part of my legacy. Same thing is said about Big League Dreams. I never had anything to do with Big League Dreams. Again, that was the councils between 1999 and 2004. I was not on a council. I did have something to do with a soccer park, which I think is an unmitigated success.
If the McConnell Foundation offered to buy the rodeo grounds and convention center, how would you vote?
No.
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 Okay.
Can you say why?
I think it's public property, and I'm not interested in selling it. I think that it needs to be developed for public benefit at the appropriate time. And I think we have to be sensitive to the Rodeo Association. And, there's too many issues surrounding it. We were the people don't know this. We were the first community in the valley, in the California valleys, to have a convention center. We had one before Bakersfield or Merced or Stockton or anybody. Now, it may be old and out of date, but it's a source of pride to me that we were that forward-thinking. I don't want to sell that asset.
Right. Well, that was one of the questions that we have. We have just a few minutes left. It's been your moment. Closing thoughts.
You know, you've had a lot of calls and a lot of people on the chat room. Anybody can email and ask me anything. My email is ken4council. It's the number 4. ken4council. At Yahoo. Yahoo.com?
Yeah, Yahoo.com.
I answer every question I'm asked. Okay? I've never backed away from anything. I'm even willing to talk about the things I've done that's wrong.
Can you name
but
one?
I've done a lot of things wrong. Okay, but I get blamed for a lot of things I didn't have anything to do with, ever. And it's because, I guess, because I am a former councilman and no other candidate is, I am therefore all former councilmen and get blamed for everything anybody ever did. But, you know, there's so much negativity around all this. We have a great city. We have a beautiful city. And we still have friendly people in this city. So government screwed up. You know, so we're all broke. I mean, we're all in the same boat. Why don't we celebrate what's good about us instead of focusing on the negativity all the time?
I think that's very positive, Ken, and I think it's really important that as we close the show, we talk about how you are. Communication is really important. And clear the air, ask the questions, find out from Ken, who's running for city council, where he stands, what he thinks. Again, give us that email.
And you can ask me any question, ken4council@yahoo.com. I'll answer you. And if you want to know why I did this, ask me. I'll tell you.
Well, as we are going to ask every member that's running, or every person, every candidate that's running for city council, we want to put them right here in the seat that Ken was at, so our people can ask them questions. What did they stand for? How would they change things, or how would they not change things? But, Ken, thanks a lot for coming in and letting us know, because there were some changes on some things, I think, in people's ideas.
Well, thank you very much, Linda. I appreciate being on your show. And what's his name?
And you can always hear the show in our archives. You can always go to KCNR 1460. All the shows are in our archives. We appreciate Ken Murray being our guest today.
Just remember, it's the good guys against the bad guys. Which are you?
You're listening to KCNR Shasta Redding.